chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them!
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Walking to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to College Basketball Recruiting Weekly, and we are coming to you from the Overtime Elite Building here in Atlanta, Georgia, where OTE has just finished up their pro day. I'm 24/7 Sports Director Scouting Adam Finkelstein. He's Director of Basketball Eric Bossi. Eric, what did you think about what we just saw here today?
I thought it was a really productive day. You know, there's a lot of opportunity for these kids today because not only had I think all but one NBA team, so 29 out of 30, and about 25, 30 schools. I counted at least 12 high major head coaches here. So good opportunity to see the guys that we knew about and also get to learn a little bit more about some of the younger guys and learn about the depth of the program in general.
Yeah, in total, I'm told there were well over 100 NBA scouts and college coaches. As you said, 29 of the 30 NBA teams were here. Want to start with a little bit of a 30,000-foot view of OTE as a program. They're still a new entity, but yet we've seen them evolve so much. My biggest takeaway, I think, having been here last year and then again this year, is the overall depth of the program and the growth in that, especially as it relates to college prospects. This is now one of the most fertile recruiting grounds in the entire country. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, now it's just as much about coming and seeing the kids, because there's not as many pro prospects here. Like, yeah, they're all the NBA teams, but for the NBA guys, it's more about getting an advanced look on guys. But now we've got the Carter Knoxes of the world that are here. You know, we've got the Bryson Tillers of the world, guys that are, you know, five-star prospects in their respective class that are going to be taking a college draft. This isn't a Men or a Sar Thompson who's strictly an NBA prospect. You know, it's really developed into, they still got the program, but like someone that probably needs to be looked at more on par with like the Montverdes and the Brewsters and some of those places in the world that are, you know, stockpiling talent as high school programs.
And the other thing here is when they go into season mode, they've got three different teams here. So in terms of the amount of overall talent, now this year, to be clear, they're going to have a combination of pro prospects, people who were here from the beginning or at least in their second year here, and then ones who have maintained their amateurism status so they're eligible to play college basketball. We're going to talk primarily about the guys headed to play college basketball. Who impressed you most today?
I'll go back to the two guys that I just mentioned with Carter Knox and Bryson Tiller. Tiller is a top five guy in our class of 2025, and he looked like it today. He was making jump shots. He was making smart drives with the ball. He really seems to be settling into being a four and being that skilled four guy who can face up and also attack the rim some. And then Knox, you know, I was most impressed with him hitting spot-up jump shots. He was making open catch and shoots. He was competing physically. He was getting after things athletically. He was really getting after it defensively. So the two guys that you would have thought would stood out really did stand out.
And, you know, I got a chance to talk to both of those guys yesterday. You and I were here last night, Monday night, interviewing a variety of top players here. Got a chance to talk to both of those guys. Bryson Tiller, it was really interesting to me because I was pretty candid with him. I said, hey, you know, like, we've seen your skill set get drastically better over the years, but sometimes I just want you to go inside and beast people. You know, you got a 7'2" wingspan, you're 6'9", you're strong. And here's a look at what he had to say about that. I thought it was a great answer.
There's definitely a balance, you know, playing with the size that I have, you know. But the main thing is for me is just like to stay aggressive, you know, whether that be taking mid-ranges, taking threes, or, you know, getting to the rim and using my size. The main thing, like I said, is to be aggressive and, you know, to keep my foot on their necks. That's really it.
All right, as we said, really strong performance here from Bryson Tiller. Basically did what we asked him to do. Went inside, still showed that smooth skill set, and it's an expanding skill set for his size. It's really made strides over the years.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like you say, he's gotten out of that mode where he wants to just hang around on the perimeter and shoot jump shots. He showed he's got low block game. He surprised me with some of the passes he made today were really, really sharp, really impressive. And it also speaks to, you know, I think he's got an advantage that he's in his second year in the program. He knows the drill. He knows what's expected of him. And he's kind of like one of the leaders of the program. And I really think he showed that out there.
You mentioned Carter Knox as well. I thought he had a very strong game. When we got into the five-on-five portion of the day, made shots. I thought he defended as well. And he's one of these players who's really interesting because he's uncommitted. So he's got a group of schools here to see him, and potentially ones that aren't even on his final list. Really kind of intriguing to see what happens with his recruitment. I thought it was the shooting and the defense. We've talked about his long wingspan. Anything else that really stood out to you about his game tonight?
You know, I'll go back. I mentioned the spot-up jump shooting was good. Defense. And just that he plays within himself. He doesn't try and do too much. You know, he's not a guy who's going to really deck it a lot and dance with the ball. And so he doesn't do that. He does things, you know, he's efficient with it. And like you mentioned, the college stuff he had Kenny Payne from Louisville plus Nolan Smith, an assistant out here. He had Orlando Antigua, assistant from Kentucky, out here to watch him. USF, where another one of his brothers is at, was here to watch him. So he's
Kim
got
English,
some sort of,
Providence head coach
yeah,
is here
Kim
to
English,
see him,
Providence, yeah. You know, he, and speaking of Kim, one of his guys is committed.
Yeah.
Was really good today.
Oh, we're
going to
talk
Davis.
About him in a minute. Yeah.
We're going to get to him. But, yeah, you know, I think Carter came in as a top 15 player of the country, and I think he represented himself as that.
All right. We spoke to Carter yesterday. He's got some pretty ambitious goals coming up for the next couple of years. Give it a listen.
Obviously, what's more important is, you know, who's going to make me a pro? What program is going to make me a pro? You know, I ain't trying to stay, you know, 3-4 years. I want to be a one and done.
I want to get there as quick as you can.
Quick as I can, you know, get to the league, top 10. So whatever program can maybe do that, I'll be the one.
All right, Bossy, you said it. Daquan Davis already committed to Providence. And if you were Kim English in this building here today, you had to be excited because I don't know that there was a more impressive guard at OTE Pro Day than Daquan Davis. What'd you think?
Yeah, what he did is he brought the juice.
Right.
Like, the energy was there. He was not only individual energy, he was giving energy to his teammates. He was talking everyone up. He was making sure everyone understood, like, you know, don't keep your head down if you miss a couple shots. So that was really impressive to me. And, you know, when you're Kim English and you're looking at your future point guard, having him come in and be a guy who's a leader and doing this, you've got to be really excited about what you saw.
Yeah, he and I talked about that. Daquan and I talked about that yesterday because it's not just the mentality. It's the fact, even from a scheme perspective on the defensive end of the floor, when you have a guard who you can start possessions with, who can push the ball to a sideline, helps you establish the weak side of your defense, and then that doesn't even take into account what you get from a culture perspective when you have somebody who sets that tone. So here's a look at what he had to say about that in terms of bringing that perspective to the next level.
I pride myself on that because, you know, there's not a lot of guards that like to do the dirty work.
No.
No, like, I feel like the league looks at guards because, you know, nobody wants a scoring guard anymore. Everybody's looking at the 6'10 dudes that can shoot the basketball.
Yeah.
So, you know, I pride myself on defense and being able to run a team. My whole life I've been, like, a defender. Like, when I was younger, I didn't even look to score. My dad had to force me to score.
Really?
I just go to the corner and just sit in the corner and just go play defense all the whole game.
Wow. All right, we talked about the guards, or at least one of the guards who stood out, in Daquan Davis. The best big man in the building today, in my opinion, this could be debatable, but in my opinion, it was Big Samto. What'd you think?
Yeah, Samto, you know, I just mentioned about Daquan Davis having the juice. When it comes to the big guys, Samto had the juice. Like, he was running the floor hard, he was catching tip dunks, he was catching lobs, he was talking trash to the other big guys. Like, he's a physically intimidating dude when he wants to be. Now, is he the most skilled guy? Is he someone that you're going to throw it to on the block and say, hey, go get us a bucket? That's not him yet. But say, hey, go beat a man through sheer effort for an offensive rebound? Yeah, he can do that. And he's going to run the floor hard. He's athletic. He tests well. You know, he's a guy that really, I thought, helped himself today and is a guy that maybe isn't going to be one of those one-and-done types of Kentucky they're used to with the big guys. But they give him a little time and focus on his development. He could be a guy that terrorizes guys in the SEC as a junior and a senior.
Now, part of the OTE Pro Day was BAM testing, which stands for Basic Athletic Measurements. Samto, here are his numbers. He measured in at 6'10" with a 7'7" wingspan, which is just absolutely off the charts. And it's not just the length, it's the power, it's the explosiveness. And, you know, one of the things we see, there's a couple different dynamics to explore here, but one of the things we see in high school with players who are physically dominant is that when they transition up levels and they run into players who are just as strong and athletic as they are, they struggle to evolve. I think Samto's going to be physically dominant at the next level as well. You spoke to the fact that ultimately his game is going to have to evolve, but I think what we saw today translates to the college level. I think he can rim run. I think he can block shots. I think he can finish, be an emphatic finisher, a lob threat, a shot blocker. And if he plays with the motor we saw today, big guys like that help you win college games these days. It's a different scenario and calculus for what works in the NBA, but what we saw translates to college.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Kentucky just had a lot of success with Oscar, right? Big Oscar Tshiebwe. And I'm not saying Samto is Oscar, but a lot of the things that made Oscar such a successful player are traits that Samto has. And, you know, if you can build up some of the offense like they did with Oscar, you know, you really got a chance to do something there.
All right, you mentioned Oscar. Ironically, I asked Samto about that comparison yesterday when we sat down.
I feel like, you know, that's the best situation for me because I went on a visit. I've always been a fan of Kentucky even before I came to America because I watched most of the game in Nigeria. I watched the YouTube highlights. So I've been a fan from, you know, day one. So. Yes, because I went on a visit last year. I get a chance to meet him in person and I spoke with him and, you know, we have like a really good conversation. So.
All right, Bossy, obviously Samto, not the only high-profile big man here. In fact, you could make the argument there's more high-profile big men here than there is anywhere in the country. You've got John Bull and Peyton Marshall as well. I'll give you your pick. Who do you want to start with?
I think I want to start with Peyton a little bit because I had a chance to sit down and talk to Peyton and kind of get an idea of seeing what makes him tick. And especially because he's a really interesting fit for me at Missouri because Dennis Gates is kind of playing a new-age style. Incorporates a lot of NBA terminology, a lot of concepts, and Peyton's a little more of a throwback guy. You know,
right.
He's a big, big kid. You know, he's pushing 300 pounds. He takes up a lot of space. He's a guy who needs a little more time to operate. And when he does go and really establish himself in the post, he can do some things. He's got good hands. He's got soft touch. He's really a nifty passer out of the post is probably what stood out most. Now, if we can get in a little bit better shape and turn up that effort a little bit and, you know, show that there is a friendly guy inside him. It's one of the things that he talked about was, like, people just think he's big and gruff, but, like, once you get to know him, he's got a little bit of a teddy bear in him. You know, just kind of mix and match those things, and I think it could be really well for him.
All right, let's check out that clip now.
I feel like people look at me and think of me as intimidating. I mean, I don't really walk around too frowned up, but some people can say, like, just my resting face kind of look mean, but I'm an approachable guy. I feel like I'm really someone you can interact with. I ain't gonna just be like no head in the clouds kind of guy. I can interact with people really well and talk to them and just have whole conversations. I ain't no mean guy who push you away just because I feel like I'm above somebody, nothing like that. So I say I'm a real, I wouldn't say friendly because, like, some people can strike you the wrong way, but as far as that, I feel like I'm easy to talk to when somebody you can approach and don't be scared to walk up to. Just say what's up. Come the right way, but, like, you know,
All right, one of the other top big men here at OTE is John Bull, and I spoke to John yesterday. I said to him, I think you're maybe the best defensive big man in the country, and we broke it down. What I was most impressed with John Bull is when we talked to him about his game, and I said to him, I said, I'm going to give you the scouting report. You tell me where I'm off. And not only was he – not only did he co-sign my scouting report, but more importantly, when we started talking the game and talking like pick and roll coverages and schemes, he's got a really good understanding of the game.
Yeah, he does. He's kind of a, I don't know if you want to call him an old soul, but when you speak to him, it's like talking to a grown-up. You know, the way he understands things, the way he sees things. You know, kids seem to be concerned about me. And yes, he's concerned about being better as an individual, but he's a team-oriented guy. He does the little things. He rotates at the right time. He's active on the offensive glass. He seems to have a good sense for what is going to work for him and what's going to work for him in the framework of a team, and he showed that out in the scrimmages today.
And although he's still new to the game, he's been really well coached. Sunrise Christian last year, Luke Barnwell, Mocan Elite. He talked about both of those things. Here's, give it a listen, and I think you're going to be really impressed at his ability to articulate and think the game beyond his obvious physical gifts.
It was a big year for me. My junior year playing under, you know, Coach Look. He's a really big coach. Sunrise Christian, really big program in terms of basketball. So, you know, like, you know, playing over there, getting all that experience under Coach Look, you know, like, I literally picked up a lot of things from Coach Look. So it's coming here right now and ultimately going to college and, you know, going to the next level. I feel like, you know, like the small things, like your AAU team, your high school team, these are the little places where, you know, you start building good habits.
Yeah.
And all of that, I would say, my AAU team, Morcan, like, you know, Morcan is a winning program.
100%.
And it's a program that, you know, like, there's a lot of coaching.
Yep.
It's not just go play, just go hoop. It's a lot of coaching. The same thing in Sunrise. Like, you know, like, coaches will hold you accountable to, you know, what you say you would do. And if you're not doing it at that time, like, there's, like, a lot of things that just kept building up to it. So playing at Sunrise and playing for Morcan, then coming here, like, I feel like it's much, much easier for me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talented guys here at Overtime. So, like, this much talent, usually there's not a lot of things that separate it. So the one thing that will separate you from a lot of other talents is, you know, how quick can you retain information? Do you listen? Like, usually there's, like, listening and there's hearing stuff. So, like, you gotta listen. You know, when coach is telling you a drill, do you want, like, you gonna see somebody do it. You gonna mess up if you see somebody do it and being told that this is what we're doing.
Right.
So, like, it's like the small things that, you know, it's small, simple things, but these are actually the things that I think separate a lot of, you know, talented dudes.
All right, boss. Now, I was asked the question. I jumped onto one of the OT broadcasts because they broadcast all their games here. It's available on their YouTube channel. If there are ever any surprises anymore. And I said, actually, there was a surprise for me today, and there were a couple of surprises because we alluded to this. There's some players here that are still pursuing the professional pathway, including a couple of players from South America. The player who caught my eye right off the bat was Samis Calderon. I mean, let's get these measurements. And he had previously been at the NBA Academy. I think you'd even seen him before. Measured out 6'7.5" with a 7'5" wingspan. So when you're talking about a wing, you've got positional size, you've got positional length, you got some athleticism. I had not seen him play before today. He made some shots in the drill work that made me think, man, this is a really interesting guy, potential 3-and-D type prototype. But then wasn't necessarily dynamic when the game started, but he was comfortable putting the ball on the floor. So there was a lot of tools and there was a lot of versatility. He, to me, was the most pleasant surprise today. What were your thoughts on him?
Yeah, like I said, he's a guy that I got to see during the summer, and the size, the athleticism, all check out. Getting to see what he can do in the skill work situation was good because the shot did look good. It looked like he looked comfortable shooting it. Now it's just a matter of bringing it all together during a game. And part of that, maybe, you know, he's facing a language barrier right now. Mm. He's in a completely new situation. You know, it probably was a surprise to him to see as many coaches and NBA guys out there. So you want to give him a little chance to adjust, but I'm really curious to see where he is by the end of the year.
And as I said, on this show, we are focused primarily on the players following the college track. But to be sure, there are plenty of NBA prospects here. It's why there were 29 different scouts and front office people here. Some of the quick names to mention, Nate Misa-Dio, and I apologize if I mispronounced that, 6'9" with a 7'7.5" wingspan. I mean, that is just ridiculous. I remember last year he jumped off the page because of his physical tools. There's been a progression in his skill set. It's got to keep progressing, but I think with that body type, with that athleticism, he's going to be a name that NBA scouts are going to continue to track and monitor for his development. I want to ask you now, turn that page and talk about some of the young guys who have multiple years left of high school basketball. Talked about Bryson Tiller. You got a chance to sit down with Mikel Brown yesterday. What were your impressions of him through our 2 days in Atlanta?
Yeah, so Mikel is an interesting guy because he's very, very mature and balanced for a high school kid. He actually spent a lot of time during our sit down speaking about that maturity and the balance and how important that is to him, and also setting a good example for his younger brother and younger sister. And you can see that, like, when he plays, I don't want to say he's too cool for school, but he's almost too mature for his own good out there. Like, you know, I'd like to see a little more fire from him, amp things up a little, because as that point guard and as that leader, that's what he's going to be expected to do. So I think that's going to be the focus for him moving forward.
Are there any other young guys that you've been, because we know this and we've talked about this. When Bossy and I are at the same event, typically I go to the older kids and you go to the younger ones, and then we cross-pollinate as much as we can. But who were the young kids who really resonated for you tonight?
Yeah, so they've got some freshmen in the program, and there's one in particular that really stands out to me, and that's Lincoln Cosby.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's 6'8", long wing from Ohio, who I had a chance to see during the summer.
6'9", according to the BAM measurements.
6'9", yeah, yep. So, and probably well over 7-foot wingspan, I'm sure.
6'11".
6'11", close.
Not bad.
But he's a guy, he's still only 14 years old.
Yep.
Doesn't turn 15 for a couple more months, but he can shoot it. He can put it on the floor. He's out there doing windmill dunks already. Like, we haven't seen very many guys in the class of 2027 yet, but if there are five better pure prospects at that age in the country right now, then that class is going to be off the charts.
Yeah, he's just oozing talent. And I think, you know, we've talked about this time and time again. When you are as talented, as obviously talented as someone like he is, listen, it doesn't take you or me to say, wow, this kid's really good. Anybody walks in here is like, who's that guy?
Right.
The key is to maintain your humility, continue to work hard, continue to develop, and realize you're like the first step of the first lap on the race. Any other young guys you want to highlight?
No, I think there's a big guy, Marcus Ponder, who's almost 7 feet tall and just ginormous, too. Like, there's a lot of really big guys in this program.
7.5 wingspan and for Marcus Ponder.
He was able to, you know, trade blows in the paint with guys like Peyton Marshall, Jazeer Jackson, you know, big 300-pounders that are older than him. So he's a guy that we had heard about but hadn't got a chance to see. So getting first eyes on him was interesting. He's definitely going to be a guy we track.
And unless there's any other young kids you want to mention.
No, I think we're good.
All right. We forgot a very important name as we talk about some of the top prospects here. I think we checked off most. Cannon Catchings, a player that I got to sit down with last night. I had the same impression today that I did when I watched him in the USA Basketball 19 and under training camp. There's moments where you're watching a play, he doesn't seem to be in it, and then all of a sudden, he's right there above the rim. And it's those quick, kind of instinctual plays and the ability to cover the court. And although he's, you know, he's older, it's not like he's 16 years old, but there's still so much untapped potential. And I know you went to see him during the high school game last year. What have you seen between then and now?
So he's gotten a little bit bigger. He's gotten a little bit stronger. And we're talking about a kid that not only has natural ability, he's got great bloodlines. His mother was a big-time college player. His aunt, Tamika Catchings, is a WNBA legend. His grandfather, Harvey Catching, played several years in the NBA. And he's a guy that, just like you say, he's kind of going along. And the next thing you know, boom, he's right there for a putback. Or boom, he crosses a guy over and hits a pull-up jump shot. Now, it's getting that consistency on his jump shot, particularly the release up at the top of it. He gets that, but he's going to Purdue. They really develop guys. Matt Painter is known for finding these under-the-radar guys, and he got Cannon committed way before anyone really knew who he was. But now he's bringing in a level of talent that they're maybe not quite used to having with the base level of talent. And if they can develop him like they've developed some overachievers there, then he's a guy that could have, you know, possibly potentially only a 1 or 2 year stay in college.
You know, the other thing that stood out to me when I talked to him yesterday is he's very quiet at first. But when the personality comes out, it's kind of like watching him play. It's like, whoa, there's a lot there. Mm-hmm. Here's a glimpse of my talk with Cannon Catchings yesterday.
Family connections. I mean, sometimes it's good to have. Sometimes I'd rather not have it because then other people just say, well, you had this because that's your aunt or that's your grandfather. So.
And tell us about your aunt.
My aunt, I mean, she helps me a lot.
Tamika Catchings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she helps me a lot. I mean, just watching her whenever I was younger in the gym, always shooting, always working, I'd be on the other court trying to do the same things that she was doing. And they always tell me the same thing.
Okay.
Just to work on being more aggressive, rebound more, be more assertive on the court.
All right, back here with Eric Bossy. Eric, I want to finish this up. Talk about two of the top uncommitted seniors. Number one is a guy that you have been a constant advocate for, and that's Jakai Howard. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot of pressure on these kids in an environment like today. Regardless of how often, like how many shots a kid makes on a particular day, I think his tools and talent were very obvious here today. And as I said, you're a big proponent of him. So tell me what you see in him.
Yeah, so with Jakai, one, the physical stuff is unmissable. Like he's freak show athlete. He's long. He just moves different than other guys right there.
No doubt.
And to play at the highest level, you got to be able to move at the highest level. Mm-hmm. So he's got that down. And, you know, OTE has a kind of a docu mini series on Amazon Prime that I sat down and watched all the episodes of that. and got to see a kid who's really fighting with a lot of pressure to be great and to help take care of his family, and maybe struggles with that sometimes. But watching him in comparison to how he went through these same workouts last year compared to today, I saw a much more focused guy. I saw a guy who was engaging with his teammates more. Now, were there times where he tried to do a little bit too much? Absolutely. Put the ball on the floor too much, took a couple bad jump shots, but he was there playing above the rim. He was finishing lobs. He was getting offensive rebounds. You know, he's just coming off an official visit to Arizona State, which is kind of, I can see him and Bobby Hurley being potential matches from a personality standpoint. You know, Hurley kind of vibes with some guys like him, but I think he is a guy who has heard a lot of people say some somewhat negative things about him and his effort levels and maturity level. And I see a kid who's out there really trying to work on that, and I applaud him for that.
I think that's well said. Has a 39-inch vertical, highest vertical, according to the BAM testing here at OTE. Jason Jackson, does that surprise you? 42-inch vertical from Jason Jackson, and second best, 41-inch from Samto. And finishing in the top three, Trey Parker, who is committed to NC State. I got a chance to talk to Trey yesterday. Give it a listen of what he is bringing to the Wolfpack.
Really just getting downhill and seeing my big man, seeing my shooters, everybody. Just seeing the whole court.
All right, a couple other guys to mention here before we wrap up. Jaden Mustaf, Damon Stoudemire, one of the 11 or 12 high major head coaches here. Saw a guy who I think is exactly what we expected. Big, powerful, multi-positional, going to be able to get downhill, potentially defend multiple positions. Anything surprise you about him today?
No, not as much. You know, I think he's a guy that we essentially will get in a second that he's kind of seems to be trying to figure out what his game is. He came up as a shooter, and then all of a sudden he got strong and athletic and started relying on that, and now he's not much of a jump shooter. He's a son of an NBA player. He's going to play for a former NBA player, but him and I sat down, and he really spent a lot of time talking about that deal of how he used to be a shooter, and now that he's athletic, he's trying to figure out how to get the shooting back and how good he can be once that all comes together.
All right, let's check that out.
I think the area the most that just helped me get to the next level, that helped my game the most, I mean, is the shooting part. I think that's the biggest piece. And being here has really, like, helped me already on that. I mean, I feel like I can see improving myself every day. I'm in the gym. Every day I'm working in the gym, shooting, getting my form right, making sure my base is right, just making sure everything's right. And I'm seeing improvement on my shots going in, misses and makes and all that. That's something that I know myself that I need to get better at. That's not something that somebody else needs to tell me. Like, I think I'm the first person to criticize myself on what I need to get better at. So every time I see that, I mean, that's nothing that's taking me down. I mean, that's just knowing that I need to get better at it. So, I mean, and crazy, it's really crazy because when I was younger, that's all I could do. I got older, I had no athleticism when I was younger, none. And then as I got older, I started getting more athletic. And so now I think just working on everything I've been working on. I mean, I think overall, over time, it's going to help me become the best player I can be.
All right, as you can see here, there's just players upon players. So we keep going. Two guys, then we're done, I swear. Tyler Jackson, 2025 guard from Baltimore, coming off a huge grassroots season. Just seemed to score at will in so many different environments. I thought he had a really good day here today. What'd you think?
He did. He didn't force the action too much. He scored like we know he's going to score. But we saw some situations where he was a much more willing passer and setup guy for others. And he's just got here, so he's just acclimating himself. But he's one that I had a chance to sit down to. And this kid he's Baltimore personified. Like, you know, when you've been around for years, Baltimore kids have a toughness about them, just kind of a swagger. And he was really talking about how that's important to him and also representing his family and his city is right for him.
All right, let's check it out.
I see my mother, my family, my whole family, where I come from is just hard. So I just try to use that as a motivation to keep going, to keep pushing forward. I know a lot of people say that they come from it, but it's not like they don't really. We all been through a lot, you know, everybody been through a lot with their family, you know, with passings and all that, especially my grandma. She was like my biggest supporter. You know, her name was Woody, so I do it for her, you know, and a lot of people that's gone, you know.
Tyler Jackson, certainly one of the best young guards here. I think I don't want to say we've covered everybody because there's tons of players here. Going to mention Darion Sutton, really interesting long-term prospect, similar to Jakai Howard, in that he's got that kind of wing size. Let's see here. Got the wing size for 6'8 with a 6'11 wingspan. We're talking about a lefty who's got a passing instinct. Now, early stages, he's an upside proposition right now, but the ceiling is very, very high. You like Brandon Crawford? Thought he was had a chance to be a sleeper?
Yeah, Brandon Crawford is a fifth-year guy, a prep guy who graduated high school in South Carolina last year, but 6'9", really light on his feet, bouncy, seems to be a very instinctive basketball player. I'm honestly surprised he's not on a high major roster somewhere right now developing, and I think he's a guy that, you know, when we circle back around to rankings at the end of the year, is a guy that we're going to need to discuss, because I think a couple years down the road he could really surprise people.
Listen, here's the bottom line. There were a lot of players here today. There were a lot of players. There were a lot of NBA scouts. There were a lot of college coaches. And that is just a sign of things to come as we see OT evolve now and have this amateurism component where players are able to come in here, take advantage of the platform, and yet still be eligible for college basketball. We've seen that have a tremendous impact on their ability to develop the overall depth of the program. It's only gotten better each and every year. And last but not least, we can't thank them for all the hospitality, for be able to take this college basketball recruiting weekly show on the road and do it here live from just this absolutely magnificent OTE facility. Ebas, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been a lot of fun. And again, we can't thank OTE enough for their hospitality.
All right, we will be back next week in the studio. You know where to find us, 247sports.com and the 247 Sports channel.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.